A few months ago, the husband of one of my college friends died, and she shared these words of Shakespeare from Romeo and Juliet. "And when he shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars, and he will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night and pay no worship to the garish sun." It may not be the worst thing, but it is an awful thing when someone we love dies. There are times when it is a relief, a death after much suffering. There are those times, however, when death comes with a door shut, and there's no hope for reconciliation, for unspoken things to be spoken. You know that as well as I. Death comes much to our surprise, even though all the while we knew that it would. Death comes, and we are depleted. Night falls, and we wait for our beloved to become like the stars at night, making the face of heaven so fine, as Shakespeare said. I've realized that one of the big drawbacks to being a pastor in a congregation for more than a little while is that eventually you start officiating at the services of those people who have become your friends. Those who you've sat through endless meetings with, those who have sat through the good, the bad, and the ugly of your sermons, the people you served a meal with, the people you sat with in the hospital or had tea with at home or drove to a presbytery meeting with. It's enough to make one want to serve 2 years and then move on. But we don't. We don't up and leave and not make connections just so that we can avoid the pain of death. Because the upside of grief, if there is an upside, is that it reminds us that there has been so much love. Maybe grief can be understood as love that is undergoing transformation, love that is no longer tangible and touchable, love that no longer has a voice and beautiful eyes and thinning hair, but love that's moving on ahead of us and not waiting for us to catch up just yet, but love that will be there for us somehow, in some unimaginable form, on some unclouded day that is beyond our horizon. Well, that's what I hope. Because it seems to me that the only way we can live with our grief, because we do live on, is to have hope. Many of us here this morning have the hope that in saying goodbye to someone in this life on earth, that that's just a penultimate act, that something more awaits us after death. I think that's as definite as I can get. But still, that hope lets a little light shine in the darkness of our grief. That hope is like a star shining in the deepest night. Pastor and artist Jan Richardson knows something about that kind of hope. Her husband died unexpectedly, and in her grief, she wrote a book of blessings called The Cure for Sorrow. This is her blessing of hope. So we may know the hope that is not just for someday, but for this day, here, now, in this moment that opens to us, hope not made of wishes, but of substance. Hope made of sinew and muscle and bone. Hope that has breath and a beating heart. Hope that will not keep quiet and be polite. Hope that knows how to holler when called for. Hope that knows how to sing when there seems little cause. Hope that raises us from the dead. Not someday, but this day, every day, again and again. And again. The writer of Revelation offers a different kind of hope. The entire book is really about hope, of course, hope for a people who are tired of suffering under the cruelty of Rome, people who are tired of being poor and powerless, who are tired of being used and crushed by those who rule with capriciousness and greed. The arching theme of the book of Revelation is the ultimate power of God in Christ, who thwarts the evil of the world and brings reward to those who have suffered for their faith. And today's little bit from Revelation offers a more intimate hope that in the end, in God's time, suffering will be redeemed. There will be a great reunion, and bruised and broken bodies will be made whole. Who are these that are made whole? Who is at this reunion? These are they who have come out of the great ordeal, the elder says. But now, he says, they will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor the scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away the tears from their eyes. That is our hope this All Saints' Day, that the suffering in this life will be done in the next, that we will see each other again, and that God, in eternal love, will comfort and sustain us with life abundant after death. This week I saw a wonderful Peanuts cartoon to go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Charlie Brown and Snoopy are sitting on a dock, their backs are to us, and they're looking out over the water. And Charlie Brown says, "Someday we will all die, Snoopy." "True," Snoopy says, "but on all the other days, we will not." What shall we do then on this other day? This All Saints remembrance when we are still living amid the tension between our grief and our hope. How shall we live as saints in the here and now? I think the clue to that response comes in the word saint. In the Christian tradition, and particularly in the Protestant tradition, a saint is, simply put, a person of the church. We are saints. Not because we are particularly good or holy, although some of you are wonderfully good and holy. We are saints because we're part of this community that is holy because God has called us together. Our All Saints remembrance is about those in our community who have died and gone to God. Our All Saints celebration is about the joy of each other, those who gathered last week and those who gathered this week and those who will gather next week. We who are saints are better because of those who have gone before us. And in that vein, I leave you with words from Maya Angelou from her poem, When Great Trees Fall. When great souls die, the air around us becomes light, rare, sterile. We breathe briefly, our eyes briefly see with a hurtful clarity. Our memory suddenly sharpened examines, gnaws on kind words unsaid, promised walks never taken. And when great souls die, after a period, peace blooms, slowly and always irregularly. Spaces fill with a kind of soothing electric vibration. Our senses restored, never to be the same, whisper to us, "They existed. They existed. We can be and be better, for they existed." To the glory of God.